Father, bless now this morning. Lord, help us to see the importance of prayer in our lives, in our daily lives. Bless now this time. Lord, meet with us and give us what we need, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at Joshua chapter 8. Look at verse number 1. We're going to read several verses this morning. The Bible says, the Lord said, and by the way, you need to pay close attention to the scriptures. I'm going to ask you a question here in just a minute. Notice, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Remember, previous to that, Joshua and the children of Israel had suffered great defeat, in Joshua chapter 7. And now the Lord comes to Joshua in chapter 8, and he says, you don't need to fear. You don't need to be dismayed. Take the people of war and go to Ai and take Ai. I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Look at verse number 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but ye shall be ye all ready, and I and all the people that are with me will approach into the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us as at the first that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, they flee before us as at the first, therefore will we flee before them. Then ye shall arise from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it under your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. Let me use this real quick. Notice, the plan of attack was this. Of course, God told Joshua, go back to Ai and set up an ambush behind the city and And then another group of the Israelites will go before them. And when Ai and the people see the Israelites, they're going to come after them. And when they come after them, we're going to act like if we're fleeing. We're going to act like if we're retreating, just like we've done before. And Ai is going to pursue. And then once Ai pursues and leaves the city, then the folks that are behind will come in and take over the city and burn the city. You with me? And then once that takes place, they'll be ambushed there. And so that was the plan. Notice, look at verse number 9 quickly just so that you can get the story. So that was the plan of attack. Notice in verse number 9, Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai, but Joshua lodged the night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people, and went up he and the elders of Israel before the people to Ai, and all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city and their liers wait on the west of the city, notice they got two sides, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at that time appointed before the plain. But he wist not, notice, he knew not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. There was people behind the city, there was people on the sides of the city, and Joshua and some of the people were out in the middle drawing them out. And Ai thought, there they are, they're coming to attack again. So he went and took his people. Look at verse number 15. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them. Notice, and fled by the way of the wilderness. So they took off running, they retreated. Verse 16, and all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. Notice, and there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel, and they left the city open in pursuit after Israel. Notice, they thought, here they come again. They're attacking again. This time we're going to take care of them. This time we're going to destroy all of them. So as they saw Joshua and the people in the valley, they came out to fight to them. They engaged Joshua, and the people retreated into the wilderness. Realize at the same time there are Israelites behind the city and Israelite on the sides of the city. And so notice verse number 18, and the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it, notice, and hasted and set the city on fire. So notice, once they were drawn away from the city, once the warriors were drawn away, they went into the city. And they took it, they set it on fire. Look at verse number 20. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to continue to pursue or go back to the city. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. So now they're being attacked by three sides. They've got from the rear, from the side, and from the front. Notice verse 21. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they smote them, notice, so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness, wherein they chased them. And when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, then all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city, Israel, took it for a prey unto themselves according unto the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And weekend, of course, he hung the king on the tree, verse 29, and so forth and so on. Now here's what my question, and let me have this one again. Here we have the same leader. We have Joshua, the same leader. We have the same army, the Israelites. We have the same enemy, the people of Ai. We have the same battle, but with totally different results. And my question this morning is, what was the difference? What was different this time around? And what made the difference? And I told you what the answer was. Made the difference was prayer. The battle of Ai in chapter 7 was conducted without the Lord. The battle of Ai in chapter 8 was conducted with the Lord. Look at Joshua chapter 8 again. Look at verse number 1 quickly. Notice, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. Now look at Joshua chapter 7. Look at verse number 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even under the Chebarim, and smote them into going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. What was the difference? You see, when you have the Lord on your side, it makes all the difference in the world. In chapter 7, we just read, there was no inquiry of the Lord. Nobody went to God to ask God. No one sought his thoughts on the matter.
No one sought his plan or his instructions. No one asked God whether it was a good idea or not to take Ai. Joshua and the people of Israel had just taken over Jericho, had just conquered Jericho, and guess what? Pride took over. And Joshua and everyone else thought, hey, if they could take care of Jericho, they can certainly take care of Ai. If they can take care of Jericho with the walls and the strongholds and the city and all the mighty men and the giants, we can take care of Ai. Ai was much smaller. Ai was not as many people, not as strong, so they proceeded to take Ai by their own strength. Without an order from the Lord, without instruction from the Lord. The Lord was only inquired. We read it. What was different between the chapter 7 and chapter 8? In chapter 8, the Lord gave them specific instructions. The Lord gave them a plan. In chapter 7, they decided to go on their own. The Lord was only inquired after the fact, when it was too late. But then when they inquired of the Lord, it was too late. They had lost the battle. They had lost 36 men. They had turned tail and run. The enemy now knew that Israel had no backbone, making Israel an easier prey. What was the problem? The Lord was not with them. If they would have inquired of the Lord beforehand, then they would have found out that sin was in the camp, and they would have found out that they shouldn't have taken Ai. The Lord makes all the difference in the world. You and God make a majority. You with the Lord can conquer all. I thought of David when he went to fight Goliath. He wasn't going alone. He wasn't going by himself. He had the Lord with him. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Joshua decided to take on Ai in chapter 7 by himself. He didn't inquire of the Lord. He didn't go to the Lord, and they suffered defeat. In chapter 8, the Lord speaks to Joshua, gives him instruction. They go and take the city of Ai. When David went to fight Goliath, he wasn't going alone. He wasn't going by himself. He had the Lord with him. Look at verse number 45, 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. And what I want you to see this morning is you and God make a majority. With you and God, with God, you can conquer all things. Look at verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine. Notice when they were confronted. He said, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But notice what David says. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day, notice, will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This wasn't David's battle. This wasn't David's enemy. This was God's battle and God's enemy. And God saw through that he was going to take care of David and take care of his people and take care of David. Goliath God would take care of Goliath. He gave David the victory, and he gave Goliath his defeat, and he killed him. Why? Because the battle was the Lord. Why? Because it was David and God against Goliath. With God, you make a majority. With God, you can conquer. Look at, I thought of Gideon. Go to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, I thought of Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Look at verse number 11. Judges chapter 6, verse number 11. Notice the Bible says, then there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Look at verse number 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is what? With thee. When God's with you, it makes a difference. When Joshua fought with God on his side, guess what? They could conquer. When David fought with God on his side, he was victorious over the giant Goliath. And Gideon here is going to be victorious. Why? Because the Lord is with thee. Look at, again, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us? Of saying, did not the Lord bring us up out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Notice verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Notice what he says. What's the next phrase? Have not I sent thee? Gideon, I am with you. Gideon, I am sending you. I'm going to fight with you. When the Lord's on your side, you can fight. When the Lord's on your side, you can battle. Look at verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Look at verse number 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Notice, surely I will be with thee. Gideon, with 300 men, conquered the Midianites. Look at Judges chapter 7. So much in here. Look at Judges chapter 7. Look at verse number 1. Notice then Jerubbaal, which is who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Notice God goes to Gideon and says, you know what, you've got too many people to battle. You've got too many people in your army to fight. And as a military man, that doesn't make any sense at all. You can never have too many. But that's what God told Gideon. Look at verse number 3. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Notice there was 32,000 there. When he told the people, listen, if you're afraid or if you got fear and you don't want to go, you don't have to go. And the Bible says that 22,000 of them returned home, and only 10 of them remained. 10,000 remained. He cut his army almost by two-thirds, by more than two-thirds there. And Gideon, no doubt, was wondering, Lord, why are you doing this? Look at verse number 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Notice, 10,000 is still too many. Bring them down under the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people, notice, under the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water. Notice what God's instructions were. Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. Those that drank by putting their hands to their mouth, 300 of them, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. God didn't want 32,000. God didn't want a 10,000. God wanted 300 that would do his work. God wanted to make sure that he was going to get the glory, and that it was apparent that he was the one that gave Gideon the victory. God wanted to make sure that everybody knew that he was with Gideon. And God was with him. God wanted to make sure that the Lord, Gideon wanted to make sure that the Lord was going to be with him. And so God wanted to be with Gideon, and Gideon wanted the Lord to be with him. And in chapter 6, he set out fleeces. Why? Because Gideon wanted to make sure that God was going to be with him. Why? Because with you and God, it makes a difference. When you battle with the Lord, it makes a difference. It'll get you the victory. Gideon wanted to make doubly sure that the Lord was with him. Why? Because without the Lord, you can't do anything. Without the Lord, there's no victory. Without the Lord, there's no power. Without the Lord, there's no safety. And we see that here in the book of Gideon. I thought about another example, not only David and Goliath, not only Gideon here, but I thought of Moses. Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Go ahead and turn there. Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, look at verse number 11, when God appeared in a flaming bush. Notice the exchange that takes place. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Notice that the Bible says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? God, I'm a nobody. Who am I? You know, what are the people going to say? I'm nobody. I'm a no one. I'm a nobody. Look at verse number 12. And he said, God said, certainly I will be what? With thee. Moses, you've got nothing to worry about. Why? Because I'm going to be with you. And when God is with you, you make a majority. When God is with you, you can make things happen. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. And thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses asked God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel? It doesn't matter who you are, Moses. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you have in your hands. It only matters that I am with you. It only matters that God, Jehovah God, is with you. And in verse number 12, he said, certainly I will be with you. You can't do it without me. There's no way that you can get the people out of Egypt without me. I will be with you. You aren't anything without me. I certainly have to be with you, and I will be with you. And guess what? The Lord was with Moses. So we see David and Goliath. Why? Because it was the Lord's battle. We see Gideon with the Midianites. Why? Because the Lord was with thee. We see Moses and the children of Israel getting them out of Egypt. Why? Because the Lord was with him, and certainly I will be with thee. When Joshua went to fight Ai in chapter 7, the Lord wasn't with him. He hadn't inquired of the Lord. He hadn't asked of the Lord. He hadn't gone to the Lord in prayer. He says, hey, you know what? We took Jericho. We can take Ai. We took that great city. Guess what? We can take the city of Ai. But he found it to be lacking. He found that it wasn't enough. He sought the Lord afterward. Let me give you several observations. I think I've got four here. Four observations. Quickly, and we'll finish. Number one, seek the Lord before, not after. Seek the Lord before, not after. Inquire of the Lord before, not after. You know, one of the greatest thing of being in God's will and seeking God's will and staying in God's will is the fact that you're in God's will. You know, when you're in God's will, when you're doing God's will, and you know, the days that you feel strong in the faith, the days that you've had that you're in the will of God and that you're seeking the Lord, the things that come your way, the things that happen, you know, God has brought it to you. God has either planned it or God has allowed it, but He has put His stamp of approval on it. Because you've been in the will of God. You've been seeking the Lord. You've been reading and praying. And I ask people, read your Bible and pray, walk with God. Why? Because the things that come your way, the things that happen, okay, when you get laid off or when you have sickness or when you have troubles and issues, if you have been in the will of God and you have sought God and you have followed God and all of a sudden this is thrown upon you, you know what? There's not much you can do. You just got to continue by faith, in faith, and continue day in and day out. Why? Because you were in the will of God and you were walking with God and you were fellowshipping with God and you were like this with God. And all of a sudden this comes to you and something happens to you. That is great. You seek the Lord before, not after. You seek the Lord before. It's easier to accept trials when you've been walking with the Lord. It's easier to accept those things that you don't understand, those things that you can't explain, those things that nobody would understand, those things that nobody would comprehend. It's easier to get through that when you've been walking with the Lord and when you haven't been in sin and you haven't been out there in the world. You know, you go out there drinking and you get drunk and you smash your car. It's kind of hard to blame anybody. You with me? You leave out of church here, just like the Palmers have. You leave out of church here, you go to this next light over here, and all of a sudden have an accident right there in this light. It's kind of hard not to see that the Lord allowed that, and God has a purpose for it. You with me? You don't understand it. You can explain it. It's heartbreaking. It's terrible. But you're in God's will. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you're in God's will, it makes easier. It's easier to accept those things that come your way. That's all I'm saying. But seek the Lord before, not after. Inquire of the Lord before. Go to the Lord before, not after. When dealing with decisions, when dealing with mountains before you, mountains that you can't climb, mountains that you can't burrow through, when you have problems, whether it be with the enemy, you seek the Lord before. You seek Him before things go wrong. You seek Him before things get worse. You go to the Lord, you inquire of the Lord, and you ask of the Lord before you do the wrong thing, before, not after. Joshua's mistake was that he didn't seek the Lord beforehand. He didn't ask of him. He didn't get his battle plan. He didn't get his will. He didn't get his desire. If he would have gone to the Lord before and says, Lord, how are we going to take this Ai? How are we going to do business here? Then guess what? He would have been made aware of the situation. Pride had taken over after such a great victory in Jericho, and he didn't think he needed the Lord anymore, or it was just beside the point, but he did. He needed the Lord. But listen, you ought to seek the Lord before and not after. You ought to be in God's will all the time. Secondly, I said, number one, seek the Lord before, not after. Secondly, seek the Lord after, if not before. Seek the Lord after, if not before. Now, again, let me be specifically clear. Before is better. Joshua could have saved some people if he would have sought the Lord in chapter 7. Joshua could have saved the lives of some people. He could have not suffered that defeat if he would have sought the Lord before beforehand. And before is better. Seek the Lord. But if you don't seek the Lord before, then seek the Lord after. You with me? Seek the Lord after if you didn't seek him before. Certainly not ideal, but seek him. Seek him after the problem. Seek him after the mistake. Seek him after the decision. Seek him after the loss. Seek him after the fall. You seek the Lord. It's never wrong to seek the Lord, though there are much more benefits to seek him early. You with me? So I said, number one, seek the Lord before, not after. Number two, seek the Lord after, if not before. Psalm 63:1, the Bible says, O God, thou art my God. Early, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Joshua didn't seek him early in chapter 7, and as a result of that, he suffered defeat. Joshua did seek him after in chapter 7, and notice what we find. Look at Joshua chapter 7. Look at verse number 6. After the defeat of Ai in chapter 7, Joshua 7, look at verse number 6. After the defeat, then he comes to God. Then he seeks the Lord. Not before, but after. And I said, number one, seek the Lord before, not after. Number two, seek the Lord after, if not before. He didn't seek him early. He didn't seek him before. So now he's got to seek him after. In verse number 6, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelled on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth? And what will thou do unto thy great name? He goes to God and he says, Lord, how can this be? And he seeks the Lord God. He falls to his face before the ark of the Lord until the even. And he goes to God and he cries to God. He says, why did you bring us out? And why did you have us cross over Jordan? We could have stayed on the other side. And you caused us to cross over. And you're going to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. We should have stayed content on the other side of the Jordan. And then he goes on in verse 8. He says, What shall I say when we turn our backs, when we retreat, when we flee from our enemies? And all the people that hear it, all the inhabitants of the land shall hear it. And guess what? They will take us because they know our weakness. They know that we are weaklings and that we'll retreat. Look at verse number 10. God answers him, and the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Verse 11, Israel hath sinned. And so that we see that, guess what, Joshua, he didn't seek God early or before. And guess what, as a result that he suffered defeat, but he did seek God after. He did go to God after the fact. So I said, seek the Lord before, not after. Secondly, seek the Lord after, if not before. And the fact that Joshua sought him afterward allowed him to fix things before he faced Ai again. Seek him after, if not before. Thirdly, follow his instructions. Follow his instructions. That's why you need the Lord before, so that you can follow his instructions. Have you ever assembled something without instructions? Or should I say, have you ever tried to assemble something without the instructions? I have. And I always, most of the time, always, sometimes, make a mistake. Either I get something out of place, or I get something that all of a sudden I need to take everything apart so I can put it back in place. You in there? Or maybe I'll have extra parts when I'm done. And but no doubt, you know, follow his instructions. Look at Joshua chapter 8. Go back to Joshua chapter 8. God gave Joshua specific instructions. God told Joshua exactly what to do, and Joshua did accordingly. Look at verse number 1, Joshua 8, verse 1. Notice, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Notice, take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Notice it says, lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. God gave Joshua the battle plan. God gave Joshua the instructions of how he was going to conquer Ai. He gave him specific instructions. God gave him the game plan, the instructions. Even if it was just an idea, it was a great idea that got them the victory. I'll throw it verse 3 to 8. We're not going to take time to read. We're running out of time. Look at verse number 8. Notice what he says. And it shall be when ye have taken the city. Joshua giving the instructions to the people. And it shall be when ye have taken the city that ye shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. They were doing according to what God's plan. They were following God's instruction. So number one, you seek the Lord before, not after. Number two, you seek the Lord after, if not before. Thirdly, you follow his instructions. You've got to follow his instructions. Look at Joshua 8. Look at verse 27. Joshua 8, verse 27. Notice, only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves. What's the next word? According unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. What were they doing? They were following God's instruction. You know, that's why we have a Bible. That's why we're supposed to follow God's instruction. Seek the Lord before, not after. Seek the Lord after, if not before. Thirdly, follow his instructions. Number four, last but not least, realize that the victory is the Lord's and the victory lies with the Lord. Realize that the victory is the Lord. Belongs to the Lord, and the victory lies with the Lord. Great was the victory over Ai. There was no loss of life as far as we know. There was great spoil. There was great encouragement, great revival. Look at Joshua 8. Joshua chapter 8, look at verse number 30. After the war, after they had hung the king on the tree and so forth and had burnt the city, look at verse number 30. Then Joshua built an altar of the Lord God of Israel, Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lifted up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. There was a great revival that took place. Why? Because they had sought the Lord, because they had followed instruction, and thirdly, because they had gotten the victory. Look at verse 32. And he wrote there upon the stone a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and the officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark, and on that side before the priests and the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the strangers, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words. Notice, afterwards he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So we see that a great revival took place. And why? After the victory. Why? Because they sought the Lord, they followed instructions, and they realized that the victory was the Lord, and the victory lies with the Lord. The Lord was sought, and guess what? That brought the victory and a great revival there. All because the Lord was sought after. His instructions were followed, and the victory followed, and the victory was of the Lord. You know, you want revival, then you seek the Lord. Seek him early before you need him. Seek him after, if not before. But you follow his instructions, and guess what? The victory will come. The victory will come. I thought of this story. In chapter 7, Joshua and the children of Israel suffered a great defeat before Ai. In chapter 8, They took the same leaders, the same army, Israelites, the same city, Ai, the same people of Ai, the same battle, but with completely different results. What made the difference? The Lord. The Lord was with them. They inquired of the Lord. They went to the Lord, and the Lord gave them instructions on how to take Ai, and they followed those instructions, and God gave them the victory. So what's the message this morning? Seek the Lord before, not after. You seek him before. You know, be in God's will before that trial comes. Be in God's will before that that health issue comes. Be in God's will before your world crumbles and your world deteriorates and your world falls. Be in God's will so you can accept that, just so you can take it. Seek the Lord before, not after. Seek the Lord after, not before. If all of a sudden the trials come, the tribulations come, the problems come, and you haven't been with the Lord, then you seek the Lord. Certainly, it's not ideal, but it's certainly a good. I'd rather seek the Lord before. I'd rather be in the will of God beforehand. And but if not, seek the Lord after, if not before, and seek him during the problems, during the trials afterwards. But ideally, you seek him early. Early will I seek thee, the psalmist said in Psalm 63. And then follow his instructions. You can't go wrong when you follow his instructions. You can't go wrong when you do what God wants you to do. And you obey and you submit. And then number four, realize that the victory is the Lord and the victory lies with the Lord. Great was the victory over Ai. Why? Because they sought the Lord after, not before. They followed his instructions. And God gave him the victory, and the same will be for you. Hey, when will you seek the Lord? When will you inquire of the Lord, before or after? I'll tell you what, you know, I would choose to seek him before. You know, Joshua had the opportunity to seek the Lord after, but sometimes we don't have that opportunity. Sometimes we don't have the opportunity to seek the Lord. Sometimes it's too late. Sometimes it's too difficult. Sometimes it's too hard. It's hard while you're seeking the Lord. It's hard when you are seeking the Lord. Imagine when you haven't sought the Lord. You seek the Lord early. If not before, then certainly after. But please seek the Lord. Follow his instructions, and the Lord will give you the victory. Father, I pray that you bless this morning. Lord, we see a great victory here in chapter 8, victory of Ai, but it wasn't after a defeat in chapter 7. Lord, the difference between the victory and the defeat was the fact that the Lord was sought after before the victory and was not sought after during the defeat. So Lord, what we can gain from this morning is that help us to seek after you. Help us to go after your will and help us to walk with you and help us to read our Bibles and pray and be faithful to the church. Help us to walk with you day in and day out so that we can seek you early, so that we can seek you beforehand. Lord, help us to seek you before, not after. Certainly makes life easier at times and easier to handle. But Lord, if we don't seek you before, then help us to seek you after. Though not ideal. Help us seek you after, if not before. If we haven't sought you before, then help us to seek you after. Lord, after the trials, after the trouble, after the problems, help us to seek you, Lord. Help us to follow your instructions, your directions. And then, Lord, help us to see the victory that you've promised. Help us to see the victory that you've promised. Bless this morning, Lord. If there's one here that's not saved, may they come to saving knowledge of Christ. Bless, I beg you, be with the invitation.